so much has been written about Jesus that historians almost universally accept the existence of the historical Jesus.
In the Gospel of Matthew, we read that Jesus asked Simon Peter the most important question any of us will ever answer. But who do you say that I am? Peter answered correctly when he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Most of you would agree with that answer, but a surprising number of people have other opinions. Welcome to the Voice of Truth with Pastor J.D. Glasscock of Calvary Chapel, Houston Metro. As believers, we need to be prepared to give an intelligent answer to people who don't agree that Jesus was the Messiah or who don't believe that he rose from the dead. Pastor J.D. will help us prepare for those encounters in the message, Jesus, Myth, Mystery, or Messiah.
Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 24? You know how the forecasts, it seems like it happens every year. I look, you know, about a week ahead and it says, you know, 30-40% chance of rain. You've ever noticed that on Easter Sunday morning? But then Easter Sunday morning, gloriously beautiful, just like this morning. God is so good. Well, somewhere out there, there's a 40% chance. I don't know who's getting it, but it's not us. You're in the right place. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Let's begin now at verse 1. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in the garden in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words. And then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and he ran to the tomb. And stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves. And he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened." The title of this message is Jesus, Myth, Mystery, or Messiah. Myth, Mystery, or Messiah. In December of 2013, Time magazine featured an article titled, "Who's Biggest? The 100 Most Significant Figures in History." I discovered that all of the prominent figures, except for one, are now dead. And some of those mentioned lived and died long before the birth of Jesus Christ. For instance, Alexander the Great. He was born on July 20th, 356 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. In fact, he made number 9 on the list. So I would like to begin just a brief countdown this morning of Time magazine's most historical figures, and starting at number 5 on the list. Now, I've provided for you photos of the tombs of each of the individuals. Starting at number 5 on the list, we have Abraham Lincoln. Now, this is the tomb where his bones are now buried. Then at number 4, we have William Shakespeare. And this is the tomb where his bones are known to be buried. At number 3 on the list is Muhammad. Now, this is the tomb where his bones are known to be buried. At number 2 on the list is Napoleon. And this is the tomb of Napoleon where his bones are known to be buried. Now, I would just stop for a moment and just say the lives and the deaths of these 4 prominent historical figures have been well documented. Their bones rest in the graves where each has been buried, some for hundreds of years now. Who then is the most significant figure to have ever existed in history? Well, according to the in-depth analysis conducted by Time magazine, that top spot goes to none other than Jesus. And here is the picture of his tomb. Now, what is different about the tomb of Jesus is that, unlike other historical figures, the tomb of Jesus is empty. It's an empty tomb. How is it that the most historical figure who has ever lived has an empty tomb? You know, the answer to that question depends on who you ask. It depends on what they believe. To some, Jesus is a myth. They refuse to acknowledge his existence, and it's surprising to me, you know, there are many people in the world today who believe that Jesus is simply a mythological figure. To some, Jesus is a mystery. While they may acknowledge his existence, they are mystified by the empty tomb. They are mystified as to who Jesus actually is and why he came. But to others, and I thank God I am in this group, and I hope you are as well, Jesus is neither myth nor is he mystery, but he is the Messiah. He is the Son of God and the one who came into the world to save people from the penalty of sin. Now I ask you this morning, where do you fit? To you, is Jesus myth? Is he mystery, or is he the Messiah? Now, to be fair about myth, mystery, and Messiah, I think we should take a look at all three. But before we do that, let me just give you a brief background on the history of the author of this gospel. The gospel is the Gospel of Luke. Now, to those who consider Jesus to be myth or mystery, I think it's important to understand that this author is himself a known historical figure. More is known about Luke historically and through archaeological discovery than any other gospel writer. Sir William Ramsay, who was renowned as one of the leading archaeologists of the 19th century, concerning Luke, he wrote this. He said, "Luke is a historian of the first rank. Not merely are his statements of fact trustworthy, he should be placed along with the very greatest of historians." The historicity of Luke, listen, it is without question. Even the liberal New York Times acknowledged in an article printed in 2001, they said, quote, "A new DNA analysis gives tentative support to the belief that the remains in an ancient lead coffin are those of St. Luke, traditionally considered the author of the third gospel of the Acts and of the Acts of the Apostles." That's the New York Times. One encyclopedia states the following about Luke. Luke, a native of Antioch, by profession was a physician. He'd become a disciple of the Apostle Paul and later followed Paul until Paul's martyrdom. Again, the New York Times stated about Luke, they said, "The evangelist Luke, who died in Greece, was reburied in Istanbul, and his coffin apparently found its way to Padua, Italy, 800 years ago." Now, that's the New York Times from 2001. You know, if you struggle with Jesus, either as a myth or as a mystery, you have to begin by asking yourself why an educated historian and physician would be willing to risk his life, and listen, not only his life, but his reputation, for a lie. What motive would Luke possibly have for fabricating such a story? That would constitute, you know, really, to a historian, that would constitute really the most significant and serious crime that one could commit. You see, you have been charged by the very profession, the oath of your profession, that you will repeat history and that you will retell history accurately. And in those days, Jesus was the most controversial man who had ever existed. He died as a common criminal, and to follow him and to associate with his name would cost at least your reputation. But at the most, it would cost you your life. However, Luke, educated, physician, historian, gives us this account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. One final note about Luke. You know, he is known and he's thought to be the only Gentile writer of the Gospels. Not even being a Jew, what could Luke possibly gain by going public with a documentary on the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And either Luke gives to us an accurate account of what really happened on that Sunday morning almost 2,000 years ago, or else these words that we just read are the concoction of a lunatic and a liar. Which are they? Is Jesus a myth? Is he a mystery? Or is Jesus the Messiah? Let's look together this morning. First of all, let's look at Jesus the myth. Well, you know, many people today do believe that Jesus is a mythological figure. They refuse even to acknowledge his existence as a historical figure. This group, Freedom from Religion, they're an atheistic group. They instigated a billboard campaign, and one of their billboards shows a picture of Jesus on the cross with the words, "Dump the myth." The dump the myth message, it's a message that gains traction only among those who are willing to either ignore historical fact or refuse to discover what history has to say about the man Christ Jesus. But the truth is, history is firmly and irrefutably on the side of Jesus. It's doubtful that Time magazine would risk its reputation by promoting a myth as its most prominent historical figure. So much has been written about Jesus that historians almost universally accept the existence of the historical Jesus. Jeffrey Norman Blaney was a prominent Australian historian. He was an academic, a philanthropist, a commentator. And in the 1980s, he was visiting professor of Australian studies at Harvard University. In other words, he was a very educated, very smart guy. He said concerning Jesus, he said, "Few scholars have argued that Jesus did not exist. Jesus' life was in fact astonishingly documented by the standards of the time, more so than any other of his contemporaries, with numerous books, stories, and memoirs written about him." Jeffrey Blaney, historian. You know why some people choose to believe that Jesus is a myth? Well, certainly it's not based upon historical evidence. Jesus himself gives to us the answer. Listen to what Jesus said. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world," and listen carefully, "and men loved darkness rather than the light." Why? Well, because their deeds are evil. Isn't that what we see in the world today? Evil deeds, evil men who refuse to come to the light. Jesus said, though, that the consequences for believing that he is a myth are eternally catastrophic. He said they are condemned. If you believe that Jesus is a mythological figure, I just encourage you this morning, go do your homework. Go read the Roman historians. Go read the Jewish historians, Josephus, Tacitus, historians that had no interest in Jesus as a historical figure other than that he was a man that actually did exist in that time. Now, some see Jesus Christ and the empty tomb as a mystery. They believe in the historical basis for Jesus, but they can't understand the empty tomb. It's a mystery to them. If the tomb is a mystery to you, you should know that you're in good company. The followers of Jesus Christ, they were all mystified initially by the empty tomb. After Mary and the other women visited the tomb, they took the message that the angel had given to them, and they took it back to the followers of Jesus. And you can look down at verse 11. And they said, their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. And if the empty tomb of Jesus is a mystery to you, listen, you're in good company. His disciples, his closest followers, they were confused. They didn't understand. They couldn't understand why the tomb was empty. You know, the story is told of Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson. Well, they went on a camping trip together, and after a nice dinner, they got in the tent and they went to sleep. Well, a few hours later, Holmes wakes up and he nudges his friend Watson. He says, "Watson, look up at the sky and tell me what you see." Watson said, "Well, I see millions and millions of stars, Holmes." "Well, what do you deduce from that?" asked Holmes. "Well," Watson, he thinks for a minute, and he says, "well, you know, astronomically, it tells me that there are millions of galaxies, potentially billions of planets. Astrologically, I observe that Saturn is in Leo. I deduce that the time is about 3:15. Meteorologically, I suspect that we will have a beautiful day tomorrow. Theologically, I can see that God is all-powerful and that we are all a small part of a huge universe. And then curiosity overcame Watson. He says, well, what do you think about that, Holmes? And Holmes was silent for a moment, and then he says, Watson, you idiot. Someone stole our tent. That was such a funny story when I read it. But you know what? It reminded me of exactly what we're talking about, this mystery of the empty tomb. If you ask some people, what do you deduce from the mystery of the empty tomb? They will often state anything but the obvious. As a result, there are many theories concerning the empty tomb. Let me just give you a few. Some have deduced that the body of Jesus must have been stolen. The disciples must have come. They must have taken his body away. You know, this theory has a little problem. The Romans knew the claims of Jesus, thus they posted extra guards around the tomb. They sealed the tomb. There was no one that could get by those Roman guards. The stolen body theory is what it's called, and really it's a very ignorant deduction. Some have deduced that Jesus really didn't die at all on the cross. This is a bizarre theory. They theorize that Jesus was merely unconscious, swooned, and that he later was revived after his conscious body had been placed in the tomb. This is called the swoon theory. However, I can assure you that the Romans knew how to carry out an execution. And just to be sure that Jesus was dead, they thrust a spear into his side. Now, you have to ask yourself, if somebody's been on the cross, if they have had a spear thrust into their side, if they have been beaten to shreds, if they have been, you know, persecuted and tortured beyond belief, and then they're put in a tomb, and there they are. How is it that they could possibly escape? How could they remove the heavy stone? How could they escape the Roman soldiers? And yet some people believe in the swoon theory. Then there is the vision theory developed by David Frederick Strauss in 1835. Strauss deduced that the sightings of Jesus were actually visions of his followers, and they had those visions because they expected him to rise from the dead. But listen, that theory has a problem. In 1959, Alfred Edersheim, who was a Jewish convert to Christianity, he was a scholar, and he pointed out several objections to this hypothesis, including that the record shows that the disciples expected Jesus to remain dead. The last thing they expected was a resurrection. They needed convincing of the resurrection. And so we have these not-so-brilliant deductions concerning the mystery of the empty tomb. You will notice with me in Luke's account of the resurrection, you have two angels in verse 4. When the followers of Jesus arrive, it tells us that the women, that they are perplexed. They expected to see a sealed tomb containing the body of Jesus. However, that's not what they found when they arrived. What they discovered was an empty tomb. To the angels, the empty tomb was really no mystery at all, and they simply pointed out the obvious. Look at verse 6. They said, "He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." You know, sometimes I hear about these various theories concerning the empty tomb. I'm kind of like Holmes. I say to myself, you know, you idiots. Why is it that you cannot see the obvious? I mean, it says here that he is risen just like he said that he would. You know, but I don't call them idiots. In fact, the truth is, these doubters all do us a favor. They demonstrate to us that even skeptics acknowledge the existence of Jesus Christ, and even the skeptics acknowledge that the tomb of Jesus is empty today. And you know, they have the same evidence that you and I have. Take anyone. You can go, you can visit the tomb today, and you know the tomb is still empty today. It's an empty tomb, but they miss the obvious. To some, Jesus is a myth. To some, he is a mystery. And finally, to some, and actually to many, and I hope to you, Jesus is the Messiah. The Messiah. We have an illustration in this chapter of two men who believed that Jesus was the Messiah. They were initially very confused. So let's look together at their story. So beginning at verse 13, and we're going to read through verse 27. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And so it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" And then the one whose name was Cleopas, he answered and said to him, "Are you only a stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And so they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early, they astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they also had seen a vision of angels and who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us, they went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And then he said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?' And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." How do we know that Jesus is the Messiah? How do we know that Jesus came into this world to save the world from sin? You know, when I was just a little boy, I was not even 6 years old, and my mother explained to me. She explained to me about Jesus. She explained why he came into the world. She explained about his death on the cross, and she talked about sin. And I understood my mom. I was only 6 years old, but I understood. Now, as I grew older, I wanted to know, why do I really believe what I believe? What reason do I have to believe that Jesus really is the Messiah? You know, it's important, I believe, to know why you believe what you believe. If you believe that Jesus is the Messiah, it's important to know what the Old Testament scriptures say about him as Messiah. It will serve to strengthen your faith, and it will help you to defend your faith. And you know, the Bible says we are to be defenders of the faith. Peter wrote to the church and he said, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear." There was a little girl who was talking to her teacher about whales. The teacher said it was physically impossible for a whale to swallow a human because even though they were a very large mammal, their throat was very small. Well, the little girl stated that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. The teacher reiterated that a whale could never swallow a human. It's absolutely impossible. Well, the little girl said, "Well, when I get to heaven, I'll ask Jonah." The teacher said, "Well, what if Jonah goes to hell?" The little girl replied, "Well, then you ask him." Now, that was her way of defending her faith. She was ready. You know what convinced me beyond the shadow of any doubt?
You have been listening to The Voice of Truth with Pastor J.D. Glasscock of Calvary Chapel, Houston Metro. For a copy of today's message, call 281-499-6301. That's 281-499-6301. And mention today's date, or you can visit our website at calvary.cc. That's calvary.cc. Calvary Chapel meets for worship services every Sunday morning at 9:30 at 7711 Brazewood Boulevard in Houston, Texas. We also have a midweek Bible study Wednesday evenings at 7. Thank you for listening, and we hope you will join us again for the next broadcast of The Voice of Truth.